is an extract from the Nature podcast. For the full show, go to nature.com/nature/podcast.
What do you think about when you think about the impact of climate change on the oceans? Maybe you think about sea level rise, perhaps ocean acidification, or the rising temperatures of the seas. But we typically think of each of these issues in broad brushstrokes. Take sea level rise. We might talk about a meter of sea level rise by the end of the century, but we rarely describe how such a change varies from place to place, from month to month. This week's Nature is publishing a comment piece and a research paper, both of which emphasise the variability of the ocean's physical characteristics. In other words, the ocean's weather. First, the paper. The study describes something that we're used to considering on land, heat waves. I called up oceanographer Thomas Froehlicher, who led the study, to find out what a marine heat wave is.
So a marine heat wave is actually a period of extreme warm sea surface temperature that persists for days to months and can extend up to several thousands of kilometers in the ocean.
And that's something that we have already started thinking about on land. You know, I feel like it's really common for us to talk about heat waves on land.
And we also know quite well that extreme climate and weather events over land shape the structure of terrestrial biological systems. But in contrast, we know very little how extreme events in the ocean will change under global warming.
But why is it important that we think about heat waves instead of just thinking about kind of this global average temperature increase and things like that?
Heat wave can actually disturb an entire marine ecosystem for a long time. So it's not only impact marine organisms and ecosystems, but also the weather systems in the atmosphere, but also human systems on land. For example, the Peruvian marine heat wave in early 2017 caused heavy rainfall and flooding on the west coast of tropical Southern America and the Andes Mountains. And then the heavy rain triggered numerous landslides and flooding, which resulted in a death toll of several hundred.
Now, we know that these heat waves happen, as you've just said. But what in this study were you looking to investigate regarding ocean heat waves?
Yeah, so we used the daily global sea surface temperature data from satellite observations, which cover the period 1982 to 2016, and we actually detected a doubling in the number of marine heatwave days. And we showed that these changes are mostly outside the range of those expected from natural internal variability. So this indicates that the climate change signal is already strong enough to be detected in observations.
So that's what you do looking back. What about the future, though?
What we see is that if global atmospheric surface temperatures were to rise by 3.5 degrees Celsius relative to pre-industrial levels by the end of the 21st century, the number of marine heatwave days will be 41 times higher than in pre-industrial times. This is a huge increase, and for me it's somehow worrisome given that the 3.5 degrees global warming is predicted to result from current national policies for the reduction of global carbon emissions. The increase is much larger for marine heat waves than for land-based heat waves.
Thomas Froehlicher there. Nature's also publishing a comment piece on the topic of ocean weather, and in particular, the need for ecologists to take into account just how variable the seas can be. Amanda Bates, one of the authors of the comment piece, emphasises just how much the ocean can change. Even studies like Thomas's, looking at extreme events, don't capture the level of detail that ecologists might need.
In the ocean, we also have a lot of fine-scale variability. We can have upwelling where we get cold water coming up to the surface, and that can change temperature by tens of degrees within hours. We plot these out in these large kind of gridded scales, but it completely misses all of this fine-scale variability in the ocean. And that by trying to understand the variability, what will emerge from that are hopefully some tools or areas or regions that we can prioritize and then come up with some kind of conservation or management tools.
Amanda is hoping, for example, for an understanding of refuge sites in the ocean, where vulnerable species can potentially flourish even as the oceans as a whole continue to warm. But getting data on the fine-scale variability of something as massive as the ocean is no easy task. Observations from satellites, like the ones Thomas used in his study, have a limited resolution and can't see deeper into the ocean. But Amanda stresses that more and more sensors are being deployed in the seas.
And so right now, we are starting to build up this local scale, fine scale information. We're right on the cusp of this kind of big data era where we're going to have information on our globe in high resolution, and as biologists, we can start to take advantage of this amazing technology that's coming out of the physical world.
For Thomas, this is a key point. In order to understand and protect our changing seas, researchers from different disciplines need to work together to understand the oceans in all their detail.
I think there should be more collaboration among physical oceanographers and also marine biologists to really tackle this problem together and to collaborate across disciplines to make major progress.
That was Thomas Froehlicher of the University of Bern in Switzerland. You also heard from Amanda Bates, who's at the Memorial University of Newfoundland in Canada. Find Thomas's paper and Amanda's comment over at nature.com/nature.